Hello, that was a song, wasn't it? I just like the message, and it's kind of a warm message there. As we're going to be talking about the church, I mean, if I were to teach about the church today, this song really blessed us. Hey, I want to introduce you to some really good friends of ours from Big Sandy, Jim and Joanne Slover. They're right over there, live in Longview. Good to have you guys going to the Pine Tree Church of Christ in Longview. And it's been a while since we've seen you. You know, we'll have to catch up after services today. But Joanne, I always called her Slow Joe. And not because she was slow, but because her last name was Slover. So Joanne Slover, Slow Joe, it fit. And first person I ever nicknamed, and I never have nicknamed anybody else, you know. And you know that's really not true. I nickname everybody, I think. My dad did that for me. But anyway, Joanne tried to teach me tenor, and I'm still working at it. I listen now to Karen. You don't know that, Karen, but Karen sometimes sings tenor, and I try to catch with her. My problem is my voice. I can't sing bass. It's too low. Tenor's too high. So I'm kind of that middle slot there, which is, that's why I decided to preach instead of lead singing, you know, because I can't lead singing. But anyway, it is good to see all of you folks. We got some other people from up around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we'll be hearing more about that as the service goes on toward the end of it. There'll be a period where we're going to ask you to remain where you are and stay seated, and we'll take care of that. Anyway, back to the church. If I were to teach the church, this is now the third lesson in our Keep It Simple Summer. I want to just deal simply with some of these different topics. Talked about the Lord's Supper, and I think picked some things up from that that were very helpful. Talked about baptism last week, and what all that meant, what the Bible has to say about that. And so now, just the church. And if I were to teach about the church, I think that I would avoid getting into too much into the tall grass and deal too much with things about the church. There are times for that in Bible study, other sermons and different pieces. But right now, just kind of a general look as we go along. I thought, first of all, the outline could be who, what, when, where, and how, but that's like six different things, so we won't do that. We're going to talk about the who and the what of the church. And as I started to thinking about the who of the church, it dawned on me we really have about four categories when it comes to talking about the church. And the first one is before the church ever began. The first mention of the church, can you guess where that was? And can you guess who said it? Well, it was in Matthew, and of course it was Jesus, and it's where he said to Peter and the other apostles, upon this rock, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. On this rock, I will build my church. First time we heard it. In the Bible, and it's Jesus that said it first. Notice it's still future. I will build my church, and so hold the phone on that one. We're not at that point yet, but Jesus here is talking about the church, and I want each one of us to take this personally as we think about it. As members of the church, you are built upon the rock that Jesus is the Savior, that he is the Messiah. That's why you are called Christians. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the Christians were, the church, the believers were called Christians first at Antioch. And Christians belong in what Jesus talks about as the church. It's not a country club. We know that. It's something really special. Well, we get over to chapter 18 of Matthew, and Jesus begins to talk about what happens when your brother sins. What do you do? Well, you go to them privately, to him or her privately, and you talk to them. And if you win them over, that's wonderful. But if you don't, if they won't listen to you and you haven't won them over, and they won't listen, then take somebody else with you, one or two other people, because every matter, Jesus said, will be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And so take it to them. If they still won't listen to you, what's the third step? Take it to the church. Again, the potential church, because as Jesus speaks, the church does not exist. That's kind of an interesting thing here in the Bible, that we have Jesus talking to the disciples and people about the church, and yet the church had not yet begun, it had not yet been built. But for us, we understand, because we can look back as the church and understand exactly what he's talking about in the fellowship of the body of Christ. If we have problems with one another, then the church, the assembly, the group of people gathered together could be a part of it. And so we find that, that Jesus, of course, spoke about it. But we get over to Acts chapter 2. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, because we have that first day of Pentecost where the church was actually founded, and yet the word church doesn't appear at all. But we know that it's the church. Jesus told them in chapter 1 to go and wait until the power came and the Holy Spirit came, and that they would know what to do. And so, of course, the Holy Spirit fell, and they got up and preached, and they preached about Jesus Christ and how he was a fulfillment of Scripture and how God had intended all of this. It was God's, Peter called it, deliberate plan that this would take place, that is, that Jesus would be crucified. And, of course, that God would raise him from the dead. And so, of course, the people in listening to that sermon realized that they were guilty of putting to death their Savior. And so they asked, what shall we do? And we talked about this when we talked about baptism. Peter told them to repent and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice then, in verse 39, 40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. If you go over to verse 47, you see that they were, those people who were saved were added to their number daily. Now, the old King James used to say added to the church. And so we thought, well, the church is there because it says added to the church. But, of course, in the original, it's not. It's just added to their numbers. But nevertheless, guys, this is the church. And the church began right there. Jesus said, I will build my church. And here we see the church being built, being established on the day of Pentecost. Remember when we talked about the Lord's Supper, that Jesus said, for them to partake of it, and that he would not partake of it again until he was with them in the kingdom of God, which is also a reference then to the church, to the body of Christ. And so, of course, Jesus and us, when we get together in the Lord's Supper, that we're all one together as God's people, and we're able to partake of the Lord's Supper and remember of Jesus Christ. But the first converts to the church were on the day of Pentecost. The first time the church, though, is actually ever labeled in the Bible by the Holy Spirit. Not that Jesus potentially talked about it and talked then about what happens if there's any kind of disagreement or sin in the church, to tell it to the church, but where the church actually is existing and it's actually called the church. It's a pretty sad situation because you have Ananias and Sapphira. The church has all gotten together. The Bible says in chapter 4 that they're all believers, that they all had one heart and one mind, and nobody claimed all their possessions to be their own, but they shared with everyone they had. And so with great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was powerfully at work in them, and there was no need for needy persons among them. The story goes on to tell us that Barnabas even took some land that he had and sold it and gave it to the apostles. And so we meet Barnabas for the first time. But this is the church. This is the people. These people. These are the people who are the body of Christ, the church. And yet they haven't been named yet. But we get into chapter 5 and we have Ananias and Sapphira who tried to sell land and only give them a portion and lied about it. And of course, they were struck down because of that. And it's in verse 11 that the Bible finally uses the word church for these people. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And so we're introduced to the actual existing body of Christ here as what the Bible wants to call and will call the church. And it is a Greek word. Most of you know it. We've talked about this in Bible class lessons over time. That word ekklesia, which literally just simply means called out. And that's who you are, by the way. You're people who, through the gospel, have been called out of the world to be one and a special people before God. So we get this word ekklesia, and if you were to spend some time looking at it, you'll notice that the Greeks actually were using this already. For them, it was an assembly of officials who were elected, kind of like a city council, if you would, and they were just simply called the assembly. That's what the word ekklesia means, the assembly of officials, kind of like the council again, of officials. In Acts chapter 19, we have a group of people that were gathered together. And if you want to turn there, it's an actually interesting little story. Paul is at Ephesus and he's preaching the gospel. This is where they rented the lecture hall of Tyrannus for 2 years, and the word of God spread like crazy all over Asia Minor. And the silversmiths became jealous because they were losing their trade. They made silver trinkets for the goddess Diana in Ephesus, and they realized they were losing money at this, and they got the people together, and the people that got together and in confusion, the Bible says in verse 32, was an assembly. It was a group gathered together for some purpose, even if it's not a good one. And of course, we have then the people being dismissed from that assembly, which is again just the crowd. So the church comes from a word that also could mean the idea of just a gathering of people and a crowd, which is what, of course, assembly means. But it's also mentioned to be and said in the Word of God to be the assembly in worship. When we come together, we are assembled in worship. Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 were taught about their worship time and their worship assembly when the whole church comes together. And there are all kinds of things that are said there. Verse 26, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up, the assembly. So in essence, this is the assembly of the assembled. When we come together as God's people, we come to an assembly, which actually, it's okay to say, are you going to church? Because you're actually going to the assembly of the assembled. You're going to the church services of the church. And so when you say, I'm going to church, and somebody says, oh, no, wait a minute, the church is not the building. Yeah, but when you come together and you are assembled, you are the church. And so you are the assembly of the assembled as God's people, and you come together. That's kind of what Paul is saying here as far as using the words. You are assembled. You come together as the assembled people. So you assemble to be the assembly, if that's making any sense. It also has to do with the word is used for a company of Christians that are joined together. In other words, the church everywhere, the church universal. The Bible in multiple places, and we won't go to them, deal with just the church. When God said, when Jesus said, I will build my church, that's what he meant, the whole church. And from time at the beginning to now and beyond, I will build that, and that will be the church. The church universal, if you will, is what he's talking about there, and the Bible uses that term. But also local churches. It's interesting that the Bible uses the same word for what we are here. This really is the church at Hyde Park, just as in the Bible we find the church at Corinth, and we find the seven churches of Asia. They're not different scattered groups with different kinds of ideas. They're really all one church, but then they're divided out as individually local churches. And ecclesias, again, the seven churches of Asia. And so the church has been the church no matter what's happened in the world, no matter about all the turmoil and all the dictatorships that have threatened the church and all the other people and all the other things and the diseases and everything that have affected the world, the church has always been there. Ever since it was created and begun on the day of Pentecost, that was the church. And so all the way to now, we are the church. And God intends for us to continue to be that church. And there's something very special about that church. I want to close here just looking at Hebrews chapter 12 briefly and what the Bible says to us about really the what it means. I mean, the church is the assembled simply, but it's the assembled because of the blood of Christ, assembled because of God's sacrifice, assembled because we are the saved out of the world. We've been told to come out from among them and be separate. And so we are an assembly in a spiritual sense, but also in a physical sense. And so no wonder Hebrews tells us in 10, let's don't get into the habit of missing our assembling together, because we need that. There's something good about that as the body of Christ coming together. We get to chapter 12 of Hebrews, and the apostle, well, I want to say Paul, but it's probably not Paul. Maybe somebody says Luke, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, an inspired man, the church accepted what Hebrews wrote this. He talks to us about what you haven't come to. He says, you have not come. Notice he's writing to Christians. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who hear begged that it no further be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's the Mount Sinai story from the book of Leviticus. And Leviticus 19 is where God tells the people, don't come anywhere near the mountain. And the mountain, of course, had lightning and was shrouded in cloud, and there was thunder and there was trumpet sounds and all these kinds of things that are so awesome. And had we been there, we would have been quaking in our boots as well, you know, to be in the presence of God like that. But he says, you haven't come to that. You Christians, you've come to something else. You have not come to that, but you have come to this. Notice he gives us six things we've come to Mount Zion. Not Mount Sinai, the spiritual Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. First thing we've come to, the city of God, and we are in the city of God spiritually. We are with God in that special sense. We are part of that. We have also, he says, come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You ever thought about that? Here you come together as a church, and you assemble. And even when you're not assembled, you're in the presence, without really knowing it, of thousands upon thousands of angels. As we come together as a church in this church assembly, in this assembly for the assembled, thousands upon thousands of angels are present. coming into the church is a spiritual thing. And it's other than that physical thing, which was so awesome, this is even more awesome. You've come before thousands and thousands of angels in assembly. You've come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Notice that's plural. Well, so is firstborn. Firstborn, you have come to the church of the firstborn ones, would be the right interpretation. Guess who that is? That's you and everybody else that has ever existed in the church. You have come, when you came to Christ and you were put into the church, you were added to the body of Christ, you came into the presence of others who have been born in Christ, whose names are also written in heaven. Some of them have passed away, but you've come into their presence. You have come to God. That's the third thing. You have come to God. When you come into the church, you've come to God, the judge of all. You've come to spirits of the righteous made perfect. I think he's thinking all the way back to all the people we read about in the Old Testament, you know, to David, you know, to Moses, to all the prophets and all the stories we read, all those people that the book of Hebrews catalogs as great people of faith. They've all passed away. But when you came into Christ and you came into the assembly, which is a spiritual assembly, you've come into their presence as well. You've come into the presence of all the great heroes over the years in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Anybody who has come to God and live gracious and wonderful lives. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of those who are made perfect, and then to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. You've come to Jesus, the Savior. And we come, we pray all the time in the name of Jesus, but we also come and we assemble as the people of Jesus, as Christians. And we are assembled together as God's people. As we come together in worship, I think it's important for us to realize that that is surely, in a spiritual sense, taking place, that we have come to that. Well, what we ought to do about it? Verse 25 picks it up and actually says, see to it. So here's what you do. You haven't come to that Old Testament mountain that was awesome all by itself. You've come to something even more awesome and is spiritual. All of these things, you've come to Mount Zion, the spiritual one, thousands and thousands of angels, to other Christians who have been born into Christ and their names are written in heaven, to God himself, to the Holy Spirit, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, to Jesus you've come to, and to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At the time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, here's what we're to do. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So going to church is more than just attending. It's more than just being present for a period of time, sometimes enduring, sometimes in getting involved. It's not just that. It's something so much more awesome and so much greater as we come together as people. So let's be thankful of that. And when we come together, let's really worship God and realize this is a big thing. to be a part of the church. And the church is something that the Bible teaches us that God has created for us. It is the body of Christ, and we are that body. Let's close with a word of prayer. I want to invite you to come after this as if you have a need. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the church, the body of Christ, for Jesus promising it and building it, and for us now being a part of it and realizing how much more awesome it is than sometimes we think about. We know that the church is not just a country club kind of an existence. We know, Father, that it is something more than that. Help us to always remind ourselves of that and be very reverent as your people, whether we live our lives away from our assembling as a church or when we come in and we assemble as your people. Bless us, Father. We look forward to that time when you will shake not only the earth, but you will shake the heavens, and when you come again and we go to live with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this invitation song. If you have a need, we invite you to come.